Hello, and welcome back to the Humanity Podcast.
Yay!
I am your host, Michael McPherson, here with my beloved, Mackenzie Marsloff. What have we got for him today, Mackenzie?
So much.
Yeah.
So much. I'm excited.
I have no idea what we have for you today, so I would love to tell you, but I can't because I literally don't know.
Yeah, well, normally we'll have a topic and then we'll know that we're going to dive into that topic, but today there's so many different things that are coming through, so we're just going to let it rip. First and foremost, we wanted to give you guys an update of our recent trip to Oregon, and we went to Bend, which led us to Sisters, Oregon, which Michael is actually wearing a sweatshirt he got from the coffee shop.
I'm representing Sisters Coffee. Shout out to Sisters Coffee House.
Yes.
Coffee company, I should say.
It really, this was a mysterious way that we were led to Sisters, Oregon, and it led us to really start initiating our venture that we're bringing through right now, which is called Request Bar. Mm. We're going to tell you guys more about that as it comes, but really what we want to drop through are the codes that Request Bar represents, specifically in relation to how Request Bar's codes and messaging has been impacting us on a personal level. And so
suddenly I'm having flashbacks to the video we created.
Which one?
When we had the videographer come over and we were sitting in front of the camera. I was like, oh God.
No, let's not do it that way.
Yeah. You guys will never see that video.
We were like, we'll just pay you. We don't want this video. just stop working on this. Anyway, it wasn't meant to be. We actually didn't even need to have the video in the first place because things shifted and changed. But regardless, Request Bar is about doing what scares the shit out of you. And yes, it is a food product. Yes, it's a protein bar, but it's more about the message that that bar carries and that the brand carries. It's about pursuing your dreams, your true, genuine, deep dreams. And really, you know, those dreams typically scare the shit out of us. It requires us to take a leap of faith in order to pursue those dreams. And so Request Bar is coming to the planet to give people the courage to do so, to inspire them to take that leap and to really help them remember that, number one, they will be supported in pursuit of those dreams. They will be caught on the other side when they take the leap. And number two, request and you will receive. Really, truly. What is it that you desire? Just request it and you will receive it in one way or another. So.
Ooh, I got something. Tell everyone what your title is in Request Bar.
Chief Visionary. What's yours?
Dang. You've got the Chief Visionary here. The embodiment of the Jaguar.
Yes. If you guys see my shirt.
Leopard
shirt. Wear a little leopard shit, which is all about. That title is just really conveying how my relationship to Request Bar. It really has always been a very profound vision that I've received, and it only continues to grow, that vision. So my job is to, number one, convey that to those around me, especially those that are working with me. Number two, honor it, make sure that what we're bringing through is honoring the vision itself. And number three, take inspired action to bring that vision to physical reality. So I'm the Chief Visionary. And then we have Michael here, who is the
Chief Firekeeper.
What's that about?
It's all about keeping that flame lit. So there's that initial spark, right? And then sometimes if we don't take action on it or if we don't implement it into physical form, that spark can go out, you know, a simple of the wind and there goes your flame, right? So I am tending to that fire constantly. I'm tending to it within myself. I'm tending to it within Mackenzie. I'm tending to it within our team, within the brand ethos. I'm always just making sure people are remembering why we started, what this is about, what this is really for, and that this isn't just something we're giving to the world. This is a transmission we're receiving for ourselves as well each and every day. And that is actually how we transmit that energy, transmit that vibration into the product. So my main job in this company is keeping people lit.
No big deal.
And I feel especially lit by that. I mean, that is a dream come true for me.
I'm just going to let you know that it's working. Because in bringing Request Bar to life in the beginning phases, I have definitely been scared. And Michael has been keeping it lit by keeping me going and reminding me, you know, we can do this, we got this, let's go, and just keeping me moving forward despite my fear. It's been a true initiation, which of course every creation that we bring through, whatever it's meant to convey or however it's meant to help the world, quote unquote, it really is meant to help us and serve us. And so we've been going through our own initiations. Mm-hmm. In terms of doing what scares the shit out of us, taking those leaps and living on that edge of life, being willing to take that jump. And I've been really pushed and challenged creatively lately in a great way. And just having these conversations about starting our own manufacturing facility, the talking about purchasing land, it's really, really scared me. And then there's Michael over there who just wasn't scared. And so anyway, I just kept breathing and reminding myself that I can do this, and where I'm at now is I'm just fucking ready. But then Michael went through a recent process of his own initiation of the request barcodes. So babe, would you tell them about that?
Totally.
Cool.
Yeah. So the irony was the whole time we were like taking these big leaps to get started with the request bar, I had like no fear in my body whatsoever. I was like, oh, raise $3 million in capital, no big deal. Let's do it by tomorrow. How fast do you want to start? You know, who can we talk to today? I was just like all about it. And I was really all about it. You know, it wasn't one of those fake it till you make it things. I had like no fear around it. So I was contemplating that for a little while. And I was like, man, well, maybe there's just nothing in this for me in terms of conquering my fear. Maybe I don't have any work to do in that area or that arena. Which is hilarious now that I even thought that. But how this all unfolded is you and I went on a walk. And at the very end of that walk, you were talking about something that you discovered online that you thought would be really good for me. It was this program that someone that you had been like connected to in a really kind of magical, mysterious
through
way.
Through Request Bar, actually.
Through Request Bar originally, yeah. They had a program that helped people, speakers, people with a message, get onto TEDx. And present a TEDx call, or a call, a TEDx presentation. And so I had never even considered the idea of doing a TEDx. And I, you know, I've always felt like, and even since I was a little boy, I always felt like I was going to be a speaker one day. I'd always had visions of seeing myself on stage, large audiences. I've even had taste of it throughout my life, you know, presenting to 100, 200 people and feeling like more alive in my body than I'd ever felt in any other scenario, any other situation. But as soon as you brought that up, it was like my balls and my bowels literally hit the floor. There was no floor, so it like hit my feet. And I just felt my physical body respond with fear. And typically when I'm overcome by fear in that way, I go silent. And that's kind of what I did. And I tried to play it cool for a second while I was internally trying to sort myself out. Like, what is going on here? And then by the time we got inside, it was just coming forward with the fact that I'm actually scared of stepping forward into this part of my career as a speaker. And that's now what Request Bar is initiating me into. So it's not separate from Request Bar, even though it's like, it might look like a different career path. It's because we've been on this journey with Request Bar that now I'm embracing or at least coming up against my own fears. And, the irony is it's like the place that I feel most alive. So when you're right up against your fear, that's also when you feel most alive.
Totally.
And so I'm terrified and excited at the same time because I know I'm going to be scared no matter what, but I also know I'm going to feel so lit and fulfilled and like alive. Mm.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's such a good story. And it actually only got better because I'm sure it only will continue to get better. But he actually claimed he went through that fear. Like he went into it, which he would call his wound. He went into that wound, around like keeping himself small, but he, ended up reaching out to this person And well, first he claimed, he like went into the Kapu community and he claimed, he spoke out, hey,
I wrote this long post about how I've been like keeping myself small and playing small in life, and how I've just basically kept myself in a straitjacket of all my concerns, considerations, things that I've originally taken from my environment, accepted and made my own. I wrote this big long post and I was just like, fuck it. I'm doing this. I am giving a TEDx talk. And I had already reached out to this person because, you know, the way his platform is designed, the way his website is designed, is you just click on a button, you receive three videos, and then you watch the videos and decide whether or not you want to work with him or go further with him. And so I tried to get those videos originally, but the website wasn't working. So I literally couldn't download them. So I reached out to the contact form and said, hey, I'd like to get these videos. It's not working for some reason. Can you help me? He responds to me personally. He says, hey, I looked at your website. I'm really interested in what you're up to. I feel like we'd be really aligned. Let's do a trade. You tell me about sacred sexuality and the divine feminine, and I'll tell you everything I know about TEDx talks. Then he sends me another email that says, I just saw that you live in Maui. I live in Kula, which is like 20 minutes up the mountain from us. So he lives on Maui also.
Wow.
And he was like, let's drink cacao sometime. So now, yeah, we've got this arrangement to not only do an exchange, but also do it in person, which feels really powerful, really exciting.
Super powerful.
Yeah.
Well, definitely that is the epitome of request and you will receive, because totally. He put it in Kapu and then boom, this email came back, and yeah. Requesting will receive. I hope everyone really is inspired by that, and also is inspired by, you know, what makes you uncomfortable. Do it. What makes you uncomfortable? It doesn't even have to be in the realm of creativity or business or service in the world. It doesn't even have to be about that. It could be about your relationship to sex. It could be about your partner. It could be about love and romance. It could be about anything. Just notice your comfort zone, where it's at, and then notice when things make you uncomfortable and go into it. And like, that's where the miracles, that's where the growth lies right now, in my opinion. And you really did that. You embraced that discomfort, and then boom, the universe really kind of gave it back to you.
Yeah, I had a very large somatic release. So I don't want to pretend like it was just like click, click, here we go. I would have liked it to have been that way. But that fear and that feeling, that sinking feeling inside of me, the sinking feeling being what it feels like when I actually sink into my wound, which is, I don't know what I'm here. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what my purpose is. I just want to go home. I just want to leave, like, home, back to source. That persisted in my body. So I actually had a huge eruption.
Oh, yeah.
Of anger. Which is like...
That's a somatic release.
Yeah, that was a big part of somatic it. Release too. I yelled at McKenzie. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But you already apologized.
We've since processed it and worked through it. But after that, I was sitting with Cacao and just doing some internal investigation. And that's when it hit me why I was really angry. You know, anger is so easy to externalize. It's so easy to blame everyone and everything else as to why it's not working out, why you're not fulfilled, why you're not doing what you know you should be doing yet. But when I really got, like, even though this conditioning, these constraints had come from my family, the culture, society, even around sex, you know, culturally, socially, I had taken them on and made them my own. I'm the one that said, okay, yes, you can live here inside of me. Okay, yes, you can do what you're designed to do here in my vessel. So the feeling of my ceremony was like I wanted to literally tear my chest in two separate directions, rip my body open and break out of this straitjacket. And it was really emotional for me because I was just getting present to how much me, the real me, the powerful me, has been trapped inside of these constraints, has been like literally suppressed, kept down. And I've been doing that to myself. And that's why I was so fucking pissed. And that's why that anger would come out and like, big explosions towards you, towards past partners that I've had. So, yeah, when I got how I had been doing that to myself, that's where I really experienced the emotion. And that's where I really had this prolonged somatic release where I was both, I could feel the anger still, but it was not being projected outward. I was holding it inside and it was working on me internally to like release this emotion and let it go.
That's huge. There's so much there with the anger that was inside of you. Are you able to explain what it felt like?
Yeah, it's a really intense energy. And again, it's an energy that's looking for an outlet. So we've just been kind of exploring this lately since it's happened. And I got a whole download around it and it's related to our sex energy. So just, I guess, a brief from the beginning, what happens when our sex energy comes online is that it's almost immediately collapsed with our sexuality. And that comes from our cultural conditioning, things like pornography. So boys, when they're young, they can actually have erections. They can feel the state of arousal without sexualizing it in any way. There's no sexual imagery. There's no past sexual experiences to draw from. So it's just pure. They're just feeling the energy in their body and their body is responding, right? But soon that gets funneled into sexuality and sexuality only. And that's why I say these two things get collapsed. Now, our sex energy that's meant to be expressed in every facet of our life, through our creativity, through the love we generate and create in the world, through the gifts that we share, has been centralized or limited to one area. So it's no wonder that men feel so incredibly sexually frustrated, or at least that's the way we've, that's the term we have for it. It's actually not related to sex itself, but we call it being sexually frustrated. Mm-hmm. Because this energy is meant to be moving, circulating, going out all the time, but we've limited it to this one area of our life. So it builds up and builds up and builds up to the point where now we're just like, exploding with what typically looks like a high level of frustration. For those that get there, anger. For those that get even further, aggression.
Yeah. And then it can, what you've said in the past, it can have outlets within sexual expression, whether by yourself or with other people, to kind of relieve yourself of that energy.
Totally. So the conditioning is, you know, ejaculation is how you release this energy, right? That's the programming. So men and the ego really reaches for more, more ejaculation, more masturbation, more sex, whatever, because that's the outlet for this energy. And that's why there's also this hypersexualization of our culture where men are looking out into the world and sexualizing everything, right? Sexualizing women, sexualizing all across the board.
Even just all marketing is sexualized.
Totally.
Like using sex. So it's all around us. Yeah.
Right. So it's this, we've constructed our entire world around it in a way. We built the constraints and now we're pissed at ourselves. We just don't know it yet. Culturally, on a societal level, from a patriarchy standpoint, we're the ones that put ourselves in a box in terms of our sex energy. We just haven't woken up to the fact. So for a long time, we've been blaming women, especially. We've been really mad at women, especially for, quote unquote, not giving us what we want. And that's been a way of giving our power away and blaming you, you know, for something that you had nothing to do with in the first place.
And I think we women too, well, personally, I'll speak from my experience lately. I've felt my own level of quote unquote sexual frustration. And you've walked me through that. It's come out in different ways. So if you're cool with it, I'd love to share that.
Totally.
So when we started talking about Request Bar, when we went to Oregon, all of that, my sex energy was coming online stronger than it ever had. And it was awesome. Like so awesome, because it felt like something was being liberated inside of me. And it wasn't just compartmentalized to our sex life. While that was getting even better and more expansive for myself, for both of us, it was also showing up in my creativity. I was feeling like I was starting to give myself more permission to go to the creative places I want to go, even though society has, or I have made myself feel and started to believe that I can only go to certain creative limits and that I have to kind of fit it inside of whatever boxes will fit, you know, with whatever business models there are or whatever. I've just limited myself in terms of my sexual expression and also in terms of my creative expression. And it was like this energy was releasing out of my lower chakras and just washing over me. And so it was coming out in such beautiful ways. And then we got back to Maui. It just kept going and going. And I remember telling Michael, like, this is like starting to make me a little nervous. And actually, we went into a really beautiful conversation. You started explaining to me the higher purpose of sex energy and how this sex energy can actually come up into our hearts and into our higher chakras and give us this ecstatic experience of life. And you were sharing with me that now you have this with like anyone, you know, you just have that experience when you're out in the world with anyone. And fear came up for me because I didn't understand it. But what was really happening was that I had started to become fearful of my own sex energy that had started to release and not release, but express and open and blossom and move in my body. Mm-hmm. And when you asked me, like, what are you scared of or what's coming up for you? What really came up was guilt and shame around my past relationships where I had actually cheated on my partners. Mm. And so I started to, I projected that on you for that moment because I was like, oh, well, now you're feeling that with everyone. And does that mean I can't trust you? And that was not the case at all. It was more so, can I trust myself with this energy? And we know we talked about that and that was really beautiful. And I had some emotion around, I want all my past partners to know how sorry I am. Because I can see how I channeled my energy in ways that actually harmed those around me and harmed myself. And then we left the conversation at that. And then I don't know, it was a few days later, we were like up in the bedroom. I think it was after we made love, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was after we made love. And I was just like, this energy is just coming on so strong. Like, what do I do about it? I have this, like, all I want to do is just go release it, like masturbate and release it because it's so intense. Mm-hmm. Will you tell them what you told me or just explain what you think was happening in my body? And you told me about the programming. You're like, well, that's your programming. Your programming is to go release it. But instead, here's the other path. Will you share that?
Yeah, well, I just want to first acknowledge you for even being able to share that here and also being able to go through that with me as your partner. It's like, obviously, this being the area of life that I'm playing with, entertaining, exploring, it feels so liberating for me to get to like have these conversations with you, to explore them freely. And just have it be, you know, like we're going off into space together and we don't know what we're going to find.
Yeah. of course.
And I think you pointed to something really important. I feel like, again, I just want to reflect like the collapsing of these two energies. So our sex energy is an incredibly powerful energy. It's something that we feel intensely in our body when it's present for us. It's not inherently sexual in any way other than we call it quote-unquote sex energy because it comes from our sexual centers. It comes from our genitals. It comes from our sacral plexus. And so it's called quote-unquote sex energy. But people get so fearful of it because of the conditioning, because of the program, because of the way this energy that isn't inherently sexual has become sexualized. So when it starts to rise in us, we start to have a kundalini awakening. What's right there is all the programming that says, stop, 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 fear, 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 shame, 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 this is bad, this is wrong. Mm. But those are two totally separate things. Mm. And I have to say that the programming is intentional because it keeps us from circulating this energy in a truly empowering way.
Mm.
It keeps us in a state of suppressing our true, pure, and potent energy, which is our sex energy. And it's so powerful because it's a generative energy. You have the force of nature itself flowing inside of you. Now, what we do, and what I talked about, feeling sexually frustrated, we feel that way when we trap this energy inside of us. So when we limit it to our lower centers, our lower chakras, when we keep it stuck down there because we're suppressing it into our sexuality, that's when we start to feel unnecessarily we're doing it to ourselves. We just don't know yet. But what we can actually do with this energy is move it. We can allow it to do what it was meant to do naturally, which is flow. All energy is in flow inside of us, and our sex energy is also meant to flow inside of us. Mm. And when we do let it flow, specifically ascend, it moves into our other energy centers.
Mm.
Every energy center is defined, exists for a different reason. It has a different purpose. So when we pull this generative energy, think of it like a generator. A generator generates energy. When we pull this generative energy up into our solar plexus, it can actually empower us. Solar plexus is a seat of power. We can actually stand in our own power.
Mm. Oh, yeah. There's the fire.
That's the fire energy. That's like those where you're really solid in your nose.
Sovereignty.
Right. You're like, no.
Yeah.
And you have nothing about it.
Yeah.
You're not afraid to send other people into their shadows.
What?
Yeah.
Or their wound. Yeah.
Right. Either way. It's all good. And when we draw it up even further, we bring it into our heart. Now, this generative energy inside of our heart is what empowers us, or literally powers us, to both give and receive love. When it hits the heart actually orgasms. And I've said this on other podcasts before, but when your heart orgasms, there will be no going back for you because there's just nothing that compares to that experience. It is full body orgasm matched with the unconditional love of Source. And why that actually happens in the heart center is because the heart is the actual middle or meeting place of our higher and lower centers. It's where our divinity meets with our humanity. Heaven meets with earth. Mm. Those energies all come into the heart center, and then, boom, we have this ecstatic experience
alchemized.
That you described. Yeah, it all gets alchemized there.
Amazing.
So when this energy hits your heart, you start to generate love. You're having this ecstatic experience, and then love is what's actually flowing inside of your auric field. So now, anyone you come into contact with, anyone your auric field encompasses, your energy field hits their energy field, that's what's actually being transmitted. That's the energy that's being exchanged,
merged,
you know?
Yeah,
merged. We talk in lovemaking that you're merging with another, your energies are becoming one. Mm-hmm. It's the same energetically when you encounter someone, it's just happening on an energetic level. Obviously, you're not physically penetrating them. I call this energetic sex. I have to always check my surroundings before I throw that word out because sometimes people get weirded out by it and I don't want them to think I'm over here having sex with them and they don't know it. It's not that at all. It's unconditional love, which in terms of desire, which we may or may not go into, every human desires to express their true nature as unconditional love.
Yeah.
And our sex energy is what's actually designed by nature to allow us to do that.
Totally.
What's really cool, I know this is the lengthy segment
of
the podcast, is we can take this energy even higher than our heart.
Yeah.
But we can also take it to the heart and bring it back to those other energy centers below the heart. Because, for instance, creativity in the absence of love can, you can express your creativity as art. You could express your creativity in business. But in the absence of love, it won't be in consideration of the whole. It won't be to serve the whole. It may just be creativity for the sake of creativity, which is not inherently bad, but it might not be inherently good either. Mm-hmm. It might utilize resources in a way that's impoverishing the earth, like harming humanity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't actually know if that even is pure creativity, because you're right. Creativity is supposed to rise and come through the throat chakra. So it's actually meant to alchemize through the heart. And I think that's what you and I have both been going through, where we're actually like more fire, more kundalini, more sex energy is getting released in our lower chakras. And then there's this, like, for me, I was there, that fear came up because my fear was like, this is really intense. Like my fear of cheating on you, you know, my fear of, oh my God, like what could this lead me to do? Because I'm just like, so feeling so aroused and sensual and that one, it's wanting to get expressed.
Right.
But what you were saying is like, yeah, that's just your conditioning. You're going to be fine. And you were just like, no big deal. And then you were just like, just wait it out. Just keep breathing. You're fine. And so I was like breathing. And then the next morning, I was listening to medicine music, which is such a heart opener for me. And literally, I was feeling that energy. It came up through my heart, like you were saying. And then all of these downloads started coming, like heart downloads. I mean, it was almost like even if these visions didn't come to physical life, I already experienced it.
Totally.
So it was that creativity coming through, and the throat chakra is where you get to express that creativity.
Yes.
And then you walked into the room after my ceremony, and I was like, I understand what you mean about how sex, like the higher purpose of sex energy.
Totally.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's a great example of where I was just going to go next, which is this energy hits the throat chakra, which is our voice, obviously. It's where we voice our truth in the world. But once it passes through the heart, you really voice love's truth in the world. And everybody can stand behind that, right? And we also have, why am I forgetting the word? Psychic abilities in our higher chakras.
Yes.
So our throat chakra actually is where we receive verbal or audio. What's the term for it?
Audible?
It's like clairvoyance. Oh. Clairaudience.
Yes.
Clairaudience. Ooh. Clairaudience. So to be able to hear the voice of spirit, to be able to quote unquote channel, when we get our sex energy into our throat center, that enhances our ability to do that. Mm-hmm. Take it even further, like you just mentioned, into our third eye. That's where we can actually experience spiritual vision. We can see into the spiritual world. We can see events, experience them emotionally, physically before they even happen. We've already experienced it. It's like we lived it, even though it was up here in our third eye. So when it materializes in the actual world, we're like, well, of course.
Wow.
And then when we take it up even further into our crown, when our sex energy hits our crown, it literally, the crown opens like a lotus. And that's where we receive all of our ability to channel divine love, to channel divine energy, to bring through the divine. And that's how we can actually merge these two energies inside of us, to bring up from the ground, the earth, to bring down from the heavens, the divine, and have that merge in our heart and be expressed in the world through our throat chakra, through our abilities, through our gifts, through our service.
Well. I love it
so
much.
So I'm so lit about this conversation right now because literally I am experiencing it.
Me too.
And I'm telling you, I'm just like, I'm really getting it now because these are really powerful experiences. I mean, I am now like, I know humans have superpowers. I'm like, I know they have superpowers, and now I get why there have been forces out there that have been trying to keep us from this experience, because it's like, once you have it, you cannot be fucked with.
True.
You can't be. I mean, you're literally channeling your life force energy in a way that's so self-empowered, that's so sovereign. Nobody can fuck with you. The darkness cannot fuck with you, and they don't want you to know that. Because if you actually got that, if you did this and that meant that they could no longer fuck with you, there goes their power. So that's why this whole system is even in place, to prevent us from liberating ourselves. Like, truly, I used to hear that word and be like, what are you even talking about? I get it now. Like, this is truly our sexual liberation. People think like, oh, if we liberate our sex energy, we're all going to be in a giant orgy together. Everybody's going to be having sex with everybody. It's like, no, that's not what's going to happen. I understand why you'd be afraid of that based on your conditioning, or maybe desire that.
Yeah, excited.
Yeah. If you're like holding out for that because of your conditioning, it's not going to happen. what actually happens is we'd literally be generating love. So much love in the world, there would be no space for anything else. There'd be no room for it.
Let's go back to the orgy conversation, though. That's so good. And if anyone is listening to this and doesn't understand, which you actually said it in such a clear way, so I think everyone's understanding, but like our friend Alexis likes to say, like, there's some things that cannot be intellectually understood. Your body is going to feel this. And when Michael started talking to me about this, I was like, I don't understand that, therefore I'm scared of it. And so I set that intention to understand with my body. And that's when things started happening for me. And so let's go to the conversation about orgies, because you brought that up and it reminds me of the open love policy and the polyamory. And so preface all of this, I have like no judgment around this whole conversation. I completely honor what people choose in terms of their relationships, whether it's one person, multiple people, like however their soul is guided, because everyone is here to have a different experience on a soul level and to, yeah, go through different things. So with that said, Michael and I have chosen the path of devotion through the beloved, through one, through the sacred union of one person. And there is a reason for that for us. And you explain this really well. So will you go?
What? I don't actually know what you want me to explain yet.
Explain why. What is the benefit of devoting to yourself to one romantic partner instead of, let's say, liberating this sexual energy and then expressing it with whoever you want to as whimsically coming along, you know? And what is possible if you instead devote to one person, not only in the relationship, but in your life? If you're channeling those energies elsewhere outside of just multiple sexual partners.
Yeah, so I'll do my best and work with me here because I'm not exactly sure what you wanted me to say when you referenced it, but it really becomes a huge distraction. And the thing to get here is we all in some way hire sex to distract us. And even beyond sex, we all hire the thrill of the chase or everything that precedes the actual sexual act to distract us from our wounds. Every person does it. Some people do it in an expressed way. That's what I did. Some people do it in a repressed way. Maybe that's what you did.
Yeah.
And so we really need to get clean about that. We really need to actually look and say, how have I sexualized? How have I eroticized my sex energy in order to keep my brain on this perpetual loop of infatuation and the chemicals that go along with it so that I actually don't have to face what's on the deeper side of me, which is my core wounds, which are actually the place if I go into, that's where my true liberation is, that's where my true creativity is, that's where my true service comes from. So was that clear?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now, when we get into this polyamory conversation, I can't say too much about it because it's not for me. It's not an experience that I've had and never will have. So, but what I see in other men is, because they're not working with their sex energy in a conscious way, again, they're looking for more outlets of distraction. So same built-up energy, looking for more outlets. Mm. Now, you can do this with pornography. You can do this with relationships. You can do this with being promiscuous. You can do this with, you know, going out, nightclubs. You're always on the hunt, always on the chase, whatever. But what I see it as at times is a huge distraction. So to reel that in into our relationship, we've devoted ourselves and completely and entirely to each other. Now for a man, most men might think that that's a limiting experience. Well, you're gonna have sex with another woman ever again in your life. How do you feel about that? I feel great about it. Most people think like that's a loss of freedom, but freedom actually comes from devotion. So devoting myself to you is what started me personally on this path, is what inspired me to separate my conditioning from my authentic self, separate my sexuality even from my sex energy, and what has empowered us to actually experience together the heightened possibilities of sexuality in general, to come together, to heal, to merge with Source, to celebrate our union, to receive pleasure, which so many of us don't allow ourselves to receive. All of that work could only happen because of the depth of our union. Because we chose to go deep instead of spread ourselves wide.
Right.
And so I feel like that is truly one of, there are many, but one of the gifts of divine union, of stepping into sacred coupleship, is that you go deep and you discover aspects of yourself that you wouldn't discover otherwise. So I'll pause there.
This is great. Oh, thank you. And for myself, if this energy is really strong, potent, fiery, and if I'm really truly fully in my sensuality all the time and in my true fire energy all the time, and I, what you're saying and what I'm resonating with is if I'm going around looking for outlets from that just lower chakra place and the intoxication and the chemical dump that comes from different exchanges, different relationships, different people.
Totally.
If I do that, what it does is it distracts me from the higher path for me of service, where I can actually, if I notice the energy and hold, right? I just breathe and wait it out. And I just, I just allow it to move through me, whether I dance or sing or breathe or meditate or lead a meeting, whatever it is, in addition to expressing it through our lovemaking.
Totally.
Which we can only do so much of.
Right. Nor would we really want to be perpetually making love in our relationship, right? Exactly. We have so many other things that we want to do.
And that we're excited about.
Right.
So there's that expression, right? Which is beautiful. But then there's other avenues of alchemizing that energy and bring it into the world. And honestly, I can say wholeheartedly, if I was allowing myself to just whimsically express that energy whenever it came up and explore different relationships and go into the infatuation over and over and over again, I would actually be robbing the world of these incredible high frequency entities, creations, visions, businesses that want to come through me, that already have in many ways and will continue to. And I would actually die having just served my lower chakras. And while it was exciting and thrilling in the moment and this intoxicating kind of vibe however long, I would actually be leaving no legacy on this planet other than self-service.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't feel very fulfilled either.
I wouldn't feel fulfilled, not at all, because there, like you always talk about, it's a never-ending cycle, as we all know. Like, I think we've all experienced this. And so to actually be on our deathbed and know, I honored this energy as actually the most potent life force energy that's not just meant for sex.
Thank you.
It's actually meant for all of these other beautiful experiences, which you and I haven't even reached the limits of. I mean, we have however many more years, 70 more years at least, to get to experience what can happen when we bring these into the higher.
Yes.
Higher realms, higher chakras, and express them through these higher ways. It's almost devastating to even contemplate what I'd be robbing the world of because of what I've seen in my visions through the expression of this energy. I'm like, wow, I can't even imagine not committing my life to that. You know?
Yeah. So we've talked about this before. We talk about energetic leaks in our sex energy. And you even pointed to it now, where our sex energy is not being contained or held inside of us. It's not being worked with consciously. inside of us. Instead, it's going out, out, out. It's not like, it might not be big outlets, but it's here, there, over there. Your sex energy is leaking, going everywhere. And so, again, I know some people come into polyamory for what it can teach them, yeah. for what they can learn from it. Some people have truly empowering experiences. So totally. I actually don't want to say like anything about that. For some
right.
people, that's probably the path. For
I
us,
agree.
That's not. Mm-hmm. But there is definitely something to be said about keeping this energy inside of you and allowing it to alchemize inside of your body. Like when you get rid of the leaks, yes, at first it feels overwhelming because you don't know what the fuck this is. You're experiencing it really intensely. Your brain and mind want to tell you, and ego want to tell you you're a bad person because you're super sexual. Mm-hmm. But it's not, again, it's not inherently sexual. I can't say that enough. Sex energy is not inherently sexual. It's just energy. Mm-hmm. Very, very powerful energy. But when you keep it inside of you, it actually like, it starts to mold into this really powerful funnel or tunnel, if you can imagine, this column of energy inside of you that's going up and down your energy centers. And literally, like, when you harness this energy, it's magnetizing. Magnetizing. It amplifies the energy in your body. It amplifies whatever energy center it's inside of. It cleanses and clears, heals even, whatever energy centers it's inside of. It's incredibly powerful. And for the most part, it's been completely untouched by yeah. humanity.
For sure.
But I'm starting to understand what the ecstatics were pointing to.
Totally.
You know, the amount, like, to be in an eternal place of love and bliss, not to the point where you're floating away and you're so lofty that you can't interact with other human beings, but to the point where love is what imbues and fills your energetic field, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing. That is so powerful.
Mm-hmm. And it comes through, you know, like you said, it comes through in a way that is in, you can interact with in the world.
Totally.
Everyone has their own expression of it. But for
when we desexualize this energy, we actually desexualize the people in our lives too.
Mm.
So this has been a healing experience for me to be able to be with other women and not sexualize them in any way, and therefore not make myself wrong for that, and not be in this totally disempowered state where I'm like shrinking upon myself, thinking I'm such a bad person because of the conditioning I have. To be able to be with other women and have no sexual projection, that has been such a profound healing for me.
Totally.
So profound. I mean, that in and of itself, if men got that, would be totally liberating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you have such fulfilling relationships with so many women in our community now, and you actually get to experience like your sisters, mm-hmm. which is so special. And you've helped me understand that, look, if your mind does do its thing, it just, it's your mind, you know, like we're here to observe our mind. So just observe it, let it go.
Totally.
Don't identify it. Don't make yourself wrong for it. It's going to do what it's going to do. Obviously, you have however many years of conditioning behind you, and just set it aside and be like, not today, Satan, and keep going.
Yeah. One of my favorite lines, because it just cuts it off at the source.
Yes.
Not today, Satan.
Oh.
Yeah, so to really cleanse this energy,
mm-hmm.
to uncollapse sex energy from sexuality, is really what's going to liberate humanity, but men especially, to take their creative life force and focus it on the mission that they're here to serve, the purpose that they actually came here to serve. The irony of this for me personally is that my wound is I don't know why I'm here. And now my sex energy is being devoted to fulfilling on why I'm here, to serving the mission of why I'm here, why we're here together.
It's so good. Oh my gosh. Well, when you were speaking about polyamory and monogamy, what I was also getting, because you said, you know, some people choose that path because it's a lot of growth. I can only imagine. You're having to face your wounds, your jealousy, all of that. But I can say with certainty, we do that
here. You're going to face it anyway.
We do it here.
If you're really invested, it's going to come up.
Yes. And Leo season has been traditionally an intense time for us and beautiful time. Mm-hmm. Last year, our friends Maura and Alexis were here during Lionsgate, which is on August 8th, I think. But they were sharing that, you know, what you go onto the other, you're literally saying, like, what am I not bringing in to this next phase? Like, you're going through this portal. And for us, there was a lot coming up in our relationship and what we ended up coming to. That was a time where Michael was coming into his masculine power so strongly, where he was literally like, he looked at me, he's like, I am not hiding my sex energy anymore. And I'm not going to keep it down. I'm not going to keep myself small. I'm going to be in my sex energy 100% of the time. And then just looked at me and I was so scared.
Deal with it.
Yeah. There was so much coming up for me as he was coming into that energy, which we've talked about on this podcast, I'm pretty sure. But it was awesome because we also got to claim, like, we are going to grow through joy in this next phase. We're going to let go of growing through pain. It doesn't mean we don't still have painful moments and some really big things. Which, like, this past week was really big for us. And totally. We're like, it's Leo season. Like, this is what always happens. Mm. And I just wanted to talk about that before we close out the podcast, about relationship mirrors, relationship triggers, especially around Leo season, because that fire is so hot. So it's like, there's more of that sexual energy. There's more of that creative energy. There's more of that anger, that pure primal anger. There's just more fire. And so you and I, it was like incredible because I noticed I wanted to make you wrong or request something, but it was like, no, there's like, you're literally mirroring to me what's not complete in myself around where I have felt made small in my life, where I gave my power away, starting really with my mother, and like not standing up for myself, not pushing her off of me, not using my voice, not claiming and saying, no, I am so important and I am so sacred and I will not let anyone touch me like that. Anyone do that to me. Anyone say that I don't deserve to shine. I will stop at nothing to get me and my sacredness and my gift out into the world. Mm. And so there was something you were mirroring to me on that, and it was really powerful, but it was really trippy as well, because I was like, damn, like, we are such powerful mirrors for each other right now.
It can be so hard to internalize that. And a lot of times we fail. I mean, what Mackenzie's talking about is an example of when I was verbally lashing out at her. She felt small because I was verbally yelling at her, making her saying, you know, things that would have her feel small. So, and that's, again, it's like, I'm going to say this, just take it for what it's worth. Some people would label that as a quote unquote abusive relationship. And God, I even hesitate to say that because there's a whole world behind that, right? But we're constantly mirroring things to each other. We're constantly going deeper. And sometimes it doesn't come out in the cleanest of ways. But I will say that people try to keep it so clean on the surface that they actually miss out on the things that are deeper.
Oh.
That's what there is to get. Like, they stop growing because they're unwilling to get messy. And again, like, there is a line. You don't strike your beloved. You don't cause the other person harm. There are obviously boundaries and barriers that are in place that are meant to protect each person and the relationship, of course.
Totally.
But you do have to be willing to break down, like, for real, not in the, oh, I had a big breakthrough today and it looked like this. I was emotional for 5 minutes. I learned a lot. And here's what I'm sharing on Instagram about my takeaways.
That was a great depiction.
That's not what this is. It's like going in to it. You have to be willing to go into it for yourself. When, for me, in those situations, all my ego wants to do is blame you. You are doing this to me. You are causing me pain. You are causing me to suffer. In that moment, the most empowering thing I can do is to take that back and say, what is in this for me? Like, what is really here? What am I really doing to myself? How are you mirroring something to me? And that is when I went into my process, which I already described. And that is when I got, like, my anger isn't actually at you. My blame, which is towards you and really blaming our culture for the impact it's had on me, I was able to take that back and say, okay, yes, there is responsibility to be had, but the first and primary responsibility is what I've done to myself. What I've allowed, the suppression that I've allowed inside of me. And that's where I'm saying no more. That's where I'm drawing the line.
Yeah.
That's where I'm breaking out of this fucking cage forever. So that is the power of having such an intimate mirror, if you're willing to approach it that way.
Yeah. So I'm going to really do my best to explain how what he mirrored to me so that you guys can see an example of this. So as he's getting mad, I was really scared and I was like retracting. And in when we broke away from each other, what I was contemplating is, why am I so scared of anger? Why am I so scared of someone being mad at me? Where has that showed up before? What I ended up coming to is I'm actually scared of anger being angry as well. I did have stuff in my past that for sure had kind of conditioned me to be scared of someone being mad at me and especially be scared of anger because what that could result in. But I also was noticing how that actually showed up in me, that I was scared to be mad at someone else. I was scared to even be mad, to let myself have anger, which is anger is a very important emotion.
Totally.
And Michael all week, he was like, damn, you're pissed at everything. I was like, yeah, because I'm just letting it come out. Like, I'm just letting this anger do its thing. And I'm just going to release this, because the anger is an emotion, you know? And I know anger also is most times like it's deep, deep, deep sadness.
Right.
So when you can kind of scream or vocalize, it will turn into like when Mike Posner on his album, he's screaming like, why the fuck is this happening? He like ends up breaking down because
right
of the trauma he's releasing. So my point is that when I came back to be with Michael, I knew I needed to let myself be mad and even be mad at him, quote unquote, for anything in the past. Because my tendency had been, if he did have anger and it came out in a certain way, my tendency was, it's okay, don't worry about it, and just move on. Mm. And what I realized is I actually hadn't acknowledged where I actually was mad at him. And I actually wasn't mad. I hadn't acknowledged where I was actually mad at my mom, you know, and I hadn't let myself feel that energy. So it was really profound for me not to go into victimhood of like, okay, now I'm going to let myself be mad. I'm mad at you. It was like, no, here's my honest truth. I'm just going to bring this forward cleanly. What I'm noticing in my body is that I have some anger, some resentment towards things that have happened in the past. And I am going to do everything possible to cleanly deal with that, to look at that, to feel that, so that it isn't there anymore. And another big thing was I was like, you know, asking myself what in me is attracting people like any kind of anger at me or any kind of madness at me. And this is a very sensitive conversation because we're not endorsing physically abusive relationships at all. So this is a different conversation where we're like, we're in sacred union and anger genuinely just comes up. So him and I aren't victims of physical abuse or anything like that. And we're not justifying it. Just wanted to be clear. But what we are holding space for is the true raw human emotion. And we're both so accountable to what that brings up in us. Mm. And we're both so accountable to dealing with it cleanly with ourselves and with each other. Mm-hmm. And so for myself, I had noticed that I actually didn't stand up to my mom. I didn't stand up to her. And therefore, I was pissed at myself. Mm. I was mad at myself that I had kept myself small, very similar to the message you were getting. And I was mad that I, you know, I was just really mad at myself for not speaking up for myself. And that's why the universe was gifting us this experience
right.
through our union, which we basically had no control over.
Never do.
Yeah. It was gifting me this experience to really see, wow, that's a very intense, uncomfortable feeling in my body. Why is that happening? And because him and I have such a safe container to explore these deeper parts of ourselves, we're getting to a point where we're unpacking the smallest little things that end up having even a slight impact of our inner energy field. That to me is one huge benefit of sacred union, because you just go deeper, deeper, deeper. We're becoming more advanced, where we're able to be like, because even at one point I was like, I need to take a break. And I went upstairs and I was like, okay, what is this for me? Because I wanted to make sure I was conveying it properly. And I don't remember what I said, but it was true. And I was like, this is so nuanced. This is so small for us, but we're doing such a great job, I feel, at unpacking those situations now. And so I feel like we just came out of it, and now like we're standing with so much freedom. Like when you talked about the experience, I noticed how I wasn't mad at you. You know, I noticed how like, oh, I don't have this like secret resentment towards him, which I had before, honestly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
I know. I went on a rant there, but.
No, I just, yeah, all of that is so important for people to hear. And I love, you know, I think we do the best we can to give people a real insight into what divine union looks like, into what sacred coupleship looks like, into what truly open and deep relationships, romantic relationships look like. And we're not the kind of people that have like an Instagram feed or, you know, a social media platform or our phones scrolling in our face all the time. So I love that we can come together and be so intimate with our audience to share things that are actually happening in a way that's not like, hey, look at us always constantly showing you every part of our relationship, which is reflecting that we actually don't have one because we're not spending time with each other. So to be able to speak
intimate
to it
time.
Right.
Yeah.
Is really powerful. And again, there's something really powerful because anger is so often connected to sex energy and the result of a build up or a spewing over of sex energy that hasn't had a proper outlet, a constructive outlet, hasn't been able to be expressed. It's so important to recognize that, but also there's tremendous power in actually keeping it. You know, we talked about vocalizing, expressing. Sometimes you can yell and that allows you to get to the emotion. There's also this other piece, which it's a dance, right? Of allowing the energy to stay inside and actually work on you to burn through, literally because it's a fire energy, to burn through all your bullshit. And I'm saying you, but to keep it inside of me, to allow it to burn through all my bullshit so that I come out alchemized as more of myself. Mm-hmm. Right? And again, it's like sex energy in a way because it's looking for an outlet. And so when we give it an outlet in terms of like verbally vomiting on someone else or screaming at someone else, it's coming out when really it's meant to stay in and work on us.
Whoa. I love that. It's all fire. Mm-hmm. This is so good. I'm glad we're talking about anger in this way. And I want to say, though, it takes such commitment because you were for a few days, just like, I'd be like, yo, you okay? Like, what's going on? You're just like, I feel extremely uncomfortable. And it's like, you knew that there was nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. You were just allowing that energy to work on you rather than trying to get rid of it, rather than trying to fucking intellectualize it or analyze it. You were just like, I feel uncomfortable. I'm just letting this move. And you were being with it. And I think that commitment allowed it to alchemize to where it went and where you are now. So thanks for bringing that up, because I think you're right. It's not like I realized, oh, I'm mad and now I need to have, I didn't even end up like having this big like yell session or go punching to a punching bag sesh or anything.
Which I've only ever seen that like twice in our relationship. And it was The one time I experienced it where you like got so pissed at me in an instant and then like you turned and went away and started like screaming and like you kind of went off into your own room and just like let yourself go at it.
Screaming, yeah.
I was like, that is so cool. I had never heard you do that before. And like you came out and you felt so much better and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, you, you know.
I know. That
How was that?
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So that actually, yeah. So there's times to just move the energy like that.
Right.
And then there's times to be with it. And all you have to do is acknowledge that it's there.
Totally.
So for me acknowledging to Michael, yeah, I have some anger, resentment. I'm mad. Just to say that and there's nothing that I need to do about that. And I don't need to write you off or try to put you in a box or be like whatever ultimatum or whatever it is. It's more like I'm
just
noticing. Go
make a public statement about it.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm just mad. And then just being with that and allowing it to work through. That was funny because then it just really did continue to work on me. And then the next day I came in from my walk and you're just like, what's going on? I was like, I'm so angry. Mm. And you're like, why? And then I shared with you. I was like, I'm just frustrated that I've been putting my creativity in a fucking box with the food industry. Mm. You know, I've been trying to conform to their bullshit and I'm over it and I'm pissed and I'm ready to get my product out there. It's so pure. It's so perfect. It's so amazing. Like I'm ready to let this shine. And you were just like, I forget what you said, but you said so many cool things about anger and about letting it come up and about like just acknowledging it. And it was so powerful for me. And then I'm telling you that night I was up. I've been like up having these huge creative downloads. So sex, energy, and anger and fire are all related. In fact, they're all the same thing. That's the conclusion I've come to. And if they can be honored as such, life just gets more magical. That's been my experience of Leo season thus far. And it's only 3 days in or however long.
Right. Well, wow. I really feel like we've offered a lot.
So much.
Today,
yeah.
So
that was really fun.
Do you think we should put the brakes on it here?
Yes.
Park the car and wave goodbye?
Yes. We'll be back soon. We have more to talk about.
Yeah. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for just honoring what we've created here, honoring the space that we're able to like have with each other to share about our lives. And yeah, we hope it's been a contribution to you and would love to hear from you as well, like how this lands, what you've learned from it, how it's reflected something to you in your own life, because that's always super fulfilling. Like when people are like, oh yeah, amazing podcast, it's like, oh cool. But when they're like, oh my God, I ... whatever that is, got for myself, that's when it's like, you know, because yes, part of this is entertainment for us.
Of course.
But the other part is like, we really want this to be of service to you.
So. Totally.
We love you guys. True. And we will see you next time.